Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right, am I on? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord? Something we're going to need to do is I'll tell you, I'm just seeing some prayers answered. Some of you are praying with me about this, but one of the specific things that I was praying about this morning in my early morning prayer is this: Holy Spirit, you're invited here, and we really need to have you come in a powerful way and outpour. Remember we talked about Pentecost last week or 2 weeks ago? Was that last week? What, last week already? Talked about Pentecost. This outpouring, this unity of being in one mind, in one accord. What happens when we do that? This provides the atmosphere. And then we have two lungs. We have inspiration. We draw in an expiration. We draw in, take out. Both are vital. And so we have this idea, and life can come and be with us. He's the Spirit of life. And then the fire of God can be upon us and set us aside to his work. And then, if that's not enough, we can speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. We can hear his gifts, and that encourages us because it's our opportunity to say, look, the gifts are amongst us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This tells us that the bridegroom who has gone away and prepared a place for us is coming again. Isn't that great news? When we're seeing everything that's going on, look, Jesus is coming back. And things are not going to get better, and then he's going to come back. Things are going to get worse and worse. Now, how's that for an encouraging message? Somebody say, thank you, Pastor. We come to church on Sunday morning, and you encourage us like that. Top-notch encouragement. This is to encourage us to not place our hope and our confidence here, but to look to the Lord from whence cometh our help. Not even to the hills or to the mountains. Those can be moved out of their place and can be melted like wax. But there is coming an establishment of the kingdom of God in the earth. Look at the vision of Daniel, and you'll see that he saw a mountain carved out without hands, and it grew, and it filled the whole earth. Look, folks, we're looking forward to the coming of the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom of heaven here with us. Jesus is coming back. We can't establish his kingdom, but he sure can, and we can be a part of it. Amen? And when we come together on a Sunday morning as we prepare our hearts, we come in one mind, one accord, and we say, come, Holy Spirit. We're not inviting him because he's off at a distance somewhere, but because he's respectful of us. And he says, how about it? Do you want me in your midst, or do you think you have it? And I want to say, I need you in our midst. We need you amongst us with your glory and with your grace and with your power. Amen? And we're sensing that this morning. We're sensing a notching up. Now, here's what's key. When that happens, you need to press in. Right? Don't pull back. You need to press in and say, yes. You need to synchronize with that. You need to walk into that. You need to step into that and allow the Holy Spirit of the living God to just wash over you, come over you. Let him bring that life. Let him bring that energy. Let him bring that divine setting apart for his purpose. Let him speak to your heart. Let him rustle you a little bit. Let him convict you. Amen? Let him bring you to those points of decisions and just press in to the experience of the presence of Almighty God. There's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. Amen? And we're going to be in his presence always. What do you think heaven is? Always being in the presence of the Lord. And it just doesn't get any better than that. Amen. This is a little bit of our heaven to go to heaven in. This is when heaven touches the earth and the finger of God begins to move. As we press into this, this is what I want to encourage you about. As we press into this, it intensifies, and then you begin to have the manifestation of the presence of God. And you begin to see the hand of the Lord move amongst us. Now, how many of you would like to see the miraculous? How many of you would like to see deliverance? How many of you would like to see breakthrough? How do you get there? How do you get there? You begin to press in and respond to the visitation of the Holy Spirit and say, we're ready. I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to drink of that. I'm going to receive of that. And I want more. I want to press in. And so it begins to intensify and intensify. And then we find ourselves right in the middle of the wind of the Spirit. That's where I want to be. Amen. I know that's where you want to be. You can prepare your heart for that through prayer. You can prepare your heart through devotion. You can prepare your heart through the week. You can tune up your instrument before you even get here on a Sunday morning. And you can come with an anticipation and an expectation rather than saying, boy, I hope Tasha can get her worship on and get me in the presence. Boy, I hope Pastor can get his preach on and get me into the presence. What would happen if we came together all pushing for the same thing in one mind and one accord? Not just two minds, not just five or six minds, but all of us in one mind and one accord. I'll tell you what will happen. Heaven will break out at 4024 Dakota Trail. Amen? You can mark my word. You can write it down because it's not about my word. It's about his word. But he is such a gentleman. He always invites, and he's looking for us to invite him. So let's just all together, before we get into the word, let's just practice that and just to say, Holy Spirit, I just invite you. I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like in my life. I'm just not quite sure what that's going to mean in my life. It kind of feels a little scary because I'm standing out here and I'm not sure what all that means. What does that mean to say, Holy Spirit, I invite you? Holy Spirit, you're not going to come and knock us off our feet, sweep us up like leaves upon a maelstrom, upon a tornado, and deposit us five counties away, mangled and destroyed. No. You're going to touch our life. You're going to refresh us. You're going to blow out some junk. You're going to confront some things. You're going to inflame us with the passions of God. But you're looking for our invitation. So we just want to take that risk, not knowing. Just stepping out in a childlike faith, saying, Holy Spirit, I'm not quite sure what I'm saying here. I don't know all the ramifications of it, but I'm just going to stand in your presence before God and his angels, before people that are around me, and I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. I really want you in my life. I really want you to be who you are. And rather than stifle you down and think of you in very low and little terms, I invite you to come and expand my thinking, expand my experience, expand the way of my perspective, change my paradigm. Holy Spirit, we're just inviting you. We're just inviting you into this tent, into this tabernacle. We're inviting you into our lives, into our experiences. We really, Holy Spirit, we really want to experience you. We really want to walk with you. We really want to come and to know you. And you are so gentle. You come and you come piece by piece. You come with peace. You begin to challenge us. You begin to shape and change our lives. You begin to pour yourself upon us and anoint us. And we're looking for a fullness of Pentecost in the life of Vision Church. We're looking for a refilling. We're looking for a renewal. We're looking for a restoration for an intensity of the harvest. And we're praying for that and asking for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. That means lay it on me, Lord. Right? That means me too. Include me in. Now, something what I'd like to include all of us in is beginning to intercede for the harvest. Jesus said the harvest is white, but we need laborers in the harvest. And one of the fundamental ways we can do that is praying for people, interceding for them to come to an opportunity of somebody, including ourselves, to share the faith. Now, how many of you know that with your family, often it's a challenge? Jesus said a prophet is not without honor except in his own country amongst his own kinsmen. And so there's this amazing thing that people in our lives that we're praying for are also in other people's lives. And there is somebody near them or around them or can be near them around them who can share the gospel of Jesus Christ if they've not been born again? Who can encourage them if they're backslidden and away from God? They can do a powerful work in their life. And what is it going to take? It's going to require people who will intercede for them, people who will pray for them. Now, something we're doing here is I'm asking that you contact, and some of you have already started, and I want to thank you. Those of you that are watching even out in Facebook land and YouTube land, you're responding to outreach@visionchurch.ag. If you'll send a photo and a brief description of the prayer that you're lifting, we're going to put this on cards. I'm going to have a picture of that person and some brief description, and we want to cover a cross or some sort of board or something that we as a congregation can actually physically see here when we're praying, and we want to cover that with names. Now, if we're going to do that, that means that you need to send in this information. We'll design the card. It'll look nice. It'll be there, but we need that raw material. I think everybody probably knows five people they can pray for. Somebody who has backslidden away from God, whose heart has grown cold, who once knew him, walked with him, have been born again, but find themselves not walking and entering the kingdom. Or it may be somebody who has never accepted Christ before. It could be somewhere on the planet. It could be in India or Bangladesh. But you know this person, your relationship with this person, and you would like to get that information. They have a Facebook page. You can take their picture. Just grab it, put it on there, and send it to us. And we want to compile this together. And we want to really get a burden here at Vision Church and have a vision for the harvest. And we really want to reach out in intercessory prayer. And so we're going to do that as a congregation. We're going to do that in prayer meetings. And we're expecting then for these people to have opportunity afforded them to come to Christ. Isn't that great? Things are happening, folks. Things are shaking. And when things are shaking, we need to say, okay, I need to get into the harvest. I need to get busy. The harvest is whitening. When there's a shaking, I can guarantee you one thing. There's a field unto harvest. People are asking questions. What's going on? Hey, what does this all mean? How long is my life may not be as long as I thought it was. And these are perfect moments for people to hear a testimony of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful gift of salvation. The wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And the opportunity to surrender their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? So be sure to join us in that. We really want to put our best foot forward, especially when we come school back in session and everything in the next couple months, and we're focused towards the fall and what? Harvest. And we really want to see a harvest begin to come in. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a message. I'm going to reprise a message. In other words, do it over again, so to speak. But hit it from a slightly different angle, because as I've been looking about, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. We've been talking about seeing the kingdom. We've been talking about entering the kingdom. Last week we talked about in the aftermath, we need the fullness of Pentecost. And God knew that we would need this fullness. And so he has provided this fullness to us. I want to talk to you about aftermath, the holiness of God. The holiness of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14 says, make every effort. Now that's a little bit disturbing sometimes, because we're saying, wait a minute, I'm born again, and God did this wonderful, powerful work, and yet Paul is coming to me, or the writer of Hebrews is coming to me and saying, you make every effort. This is a full-on involvement of us in a process. If that's so, that means it's not mystical, mysterious, and out there where we can't understand it, but it's something that we can come to the Word, we can come to prayer, we can come to the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and we can have it. If God says something and asks something of us, it is something then that by His grace we can have. Amen? Are you with me? Okay. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. And how many of you know somebody that takes real effort to be with? Now, I think I'm getting this thing is phasing in and out. We even got a brand new one with a new headset, and I think I need to find a frequency that it likes. And so until then, I think I have a vocal 2 was also cutting out. Let's see. Let's go with vocal 1 might have lipstick on it. I'll tell you what, Pastor Cindy, hand me that mic down there. There we go. Because I'm getting some cutting in and out. So I'm going to change the vocal 3. If you could bring up vocal 3, Brother Talman.
and we're going to mute vocal one. Okay, here we go. Is that better? Let me start over then. No, not necessary. So everybody, how many say, I got it, Pastor, you don't need to start over. Okay, all right. So we're going to talk about the holiness of God. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be, everybody say this word with me, holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wow. This tells me that this is vital. This is very important. This is critically important because we were talking about earlier, we want to be in His presence. How many of you want to see the Lord? You want to see that fulfillment of maybe Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. He was high and lifted up and His glory filled the temple. And we see that vision of Isaiah and we say, I want to see that. One of the great hopes we have is that we will get to see Jesus who we believed in and yet have never seen. Now we'll get to see the invisible God who we believe in, but we have never seen. And that we will get to see the Holy Spirit whom we have experienced, but we have never seen. Like the wind blowing, we have been leaves carried along, and yet we have not ourselves seen Him. I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to when faith becomes sight. When I get to actually see Him. So it says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, we're going to hear an eyewitness that was with Jesus for 3 years, somebody who was in the inner three of the disciples. Now, how many of you think it's pretty reliable? If Peter's been with Jesus for 3 years, he has seen some magnificent things. He has preached on the day of Pentecost, as we heard last week, that this guy's testimony is pretty reliable. Maybe if you're thinking, well, the guy who wrote Hebrews under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, maybe he's a little sketchy, but listen to what, let me listen to Peter, because Peter was one of the inner three, one of the first called. He was from the Galilee area. He was a fisherman. He was a man who denied the Lord, but then he was restored, and aren't you glad for the Lord's restoration? And here we find Peter writing to the people of God and saying, but just as He who called you is, say it again, holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, I just want to encourage you with this next slide. Holiness is one of the most misunderstood concepts of the whole Bible. I went and looked at some commentaries and at some Bible dictionaries. And I get to use, it's a privilege to use a piece of software that the church makes available through a subscription called Logos Bible Software. And in there, when I was looking at the concept of holiness, and it's a huge library of all these books, one of the interesting entries popped up in the Lexham Bible Commentary and Dictionary, and here was the quote that I found staring at me right off that first page. A quality that characterizes deity and at times humans or objects. Notice this, I should have underlined it. The precise nature of this quality is disputed. Now, how many of you just feel much better? Oh, that's great. I'm supposed to be holy. God asked me to be holy. He says that without holiness, I will not see God. But what is it? I'd like to be holy. I would like to walk in holiness. What does it mean to be holy? Wow. And this is disputed. What does it mean to be disputed? That there are several different opinions about what it is. So just to be fair, if there are several opinions, I can have one. All right? I can have one, and I'm going to propose to you, and I have done this before, but I want to lay this out before us again. I think this is good to look at again, and we're going to be walking through a devotional on this week. Because there are people that are here that have never heard this, but you know, I have people out there in YouTube and Facebook land that have never heard this. And I think it's important if people are going to walk through an aftermath And this is so vital that we need to hear this. And by the way, adults learn by repetition. How many adults in here today? All right. So you ready to learn? All right. Now, two more verses as we roll into this. Revelation chapter 4, number 5 says, "From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God." Now, what is interesting to me is that Scripture over and over and over, and you can find this to be true, Jesus himself refers to the sevenfold Spirit of God as the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a clue. He's the Holy Spirit. So if we find out how the Holy Spirit is, how God is, the nature and the quality of God, then we can understand what holiness is. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily we can do it, but we can at least open our heart and say, this is a tall order, this is a bold order, and I'm going to need you, Holy Spirit, in order to walk into this that is called holiness. We have this picture of the sevenfold lamp before the throne, and he is referred to as the sevenfold Spirit of God, and we have heard Jesus call him, at least by this title, Holy Spirit. Have you heard that before? Holy Spirit. Now we're going to roll into what holiness is. Okay? And out of this teaching, that you can say, I know what holiness is. When the Bible says to be holy, I know what that means. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I measure up completely. How many of you know that the guy standing before you right now that's going to talk to you about this himself is not the living epitome of this? Let's look higher than me, folks. Let's look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's holy. Let's look to the Holy Spirit. Let's look to our God. Let's look to our Father. He is holy, and all the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. The whole earth is filled with your glory." The angels know what holiness is. Now, if the angels know, God knows, the Spirit of God knows, Jesus knows, and Peter knows, here's the question as we start out, is it knowable? Yes. And it doesn't need to be in dispute. It doesn't need to be. It can be discerned. It can be understood from the Word of God. And then it can be pursued. Now, let me tell you what the life of Christianity is. People who are walking through this aftermath, here's what we need to do. To enter the kingdom of heaven, we have to be in pursuit of holiness. Now, it's helpful when you're pursuing something to know what you're pursuing. What happens to somebody if they're not sure exactly what they're pursuing? Do they tend to run as fast? No. Do they tend to run with as much intensity? They're running around. How many have heard this? Like a chicken with its head cut off. And when people don't know, they just tend to run around circles. I'm supposed to be energetic about this. I'm supposed to be doing something about this, but I'm not quite sure what it is I'm to be doing. And if holiness is in dispute, then we can't get on the beam. But if holiness has actually been laid out for us in the Word of God and in the life of Jesus, then we can get on the beam. Now, for some of you, this is going to be a review. And so let's move through this. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. We used to sing a song that had these words in it. "Beloved, let us love one another." How many of you ever sang that song, right? Some of you saying, "Pastor, you're old. You used to sing that song. Never heard of it." And we hear in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. So would it be helpful to say, look, if God is love, then to be holy would involve that? We have to include that. How about if it's the number one thing we make it? Now, how do we know that it was in dispute in Jesus' day? Because he comes on the scene, and this seems to be a radical revelation. He says this in John chapter 3, verse number 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." What a wonderful passage of Scripture. And what is at the center of it? "For God so loved." If holiness was in dispute, then love is in dispute. And for that very reason, there's a lot of disagreement in Jesus' day because they don't know what motivates God. But what does Jesus know? He knows the heart of the Father. And he says, I've come so that you might know him. He who has seen me has seen the Father. John 13, John 14, as he's speaking to his disciples, they're still sitting there going, what does this all mean? We're not sure. This seems like gobbledygook. It's really not fitting together. And he has come to end the dispute and bring us into the wholeness and the completion of God's plan. We're getting a hint there as we move on. So what is this? Agape. This is the agape love of God. You're going to hear that a lot from me. Some of you are saying, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Yes, I love this sermon. I loved staying on this topic because this is an area where people frequently are mistaken and blow it in their Christian walk because they get off on tangents into idolatries instead of going into the fullness of what God has for them. Agape. What is this? The lay down your life, die for your enemy kind of love. This is how God loves the world. This is how God feels about people. This is what motivates him to do what he is doing. His love. Aren't you glad for the love of God? Would you give him a hand clap, if nothing else? That will wake your neighbors. Some of you are just looking a little bit too calm right now. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. We're going to roll right into the next one. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What's the picture we're seeing? Humility. We're seeing this thing that God, you ready for this one? God serves his creation. Wait a minute. I thought we're supposed to create things to serve us. Why do we invent cars? So they'll convey us around. Why did we invent aircraft? So we can get further and quicker on the planet. We wouldn't have to be on ships. We went through a process and we tend to make things in order to serve us. But here's the interesting thing about God. He makes things that he might serve and help to come into a relationship with him. He is so magnificent, mighty, and so above us that he has to condescend. He has to come down on the childlike level. He has to come down to our level because we can't come up to his. And so here's the picture of Christ emptying himself and becoming a servant. He tells this about the Heavenly Father. He serves the birds. Some of us say service is for the birds. Right? But the Lord creates and then serves his creation. The entire creation is being upheld by his word. He is actively involved with supporting his creation. This is about relationship, and it's one, not of big I and little you, but it is of God coming down to our level, emptying himself, and identifying with us right where we are. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap? That is a great, great mentality. Immediately, I say, Lord, I'm going to need help there. Let's move on. Hebrews 10:29. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing? There's that word holiness again. As an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified them and who insulted the Spirit of grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for it is by, everybody say that word together, grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. What is that third thing? Grace. Grace, the grace of God. He loves us, he has mercy upon us, but it does, wait, he serves us, and then what does he do? He gifts us with things. He gives us things. He imparts things to us and provides things for us. And what is that? All of that. Our salvation, how does it come? By grace through faith. Healing, how does it come? By grace through faith. Deliverance, how does it come? By grace through faith. This is a idea that we're receiving. We're not worthy, but He puts His favor upon us and He takes His accounts of heaven and He puts them at our disposal. And so that whatever it is that we have need of, He says, He has already provided it, past tense, for us. Grace is the stuff of God which has already been provided. Past tense. All we need to do is line up. All we need to do is come into connection with it. All we need to do is go down to the docks with the truck and put the packages on the back. It's in the warehouse. It's on the dock. It's unloaded. It's available. It's paid for. It's provided. But what happens if you don't know? Then there may as well not be any grace because you don't know. What happens if you don't respond? Then the grace sits on the dock and you don't connect with it. But what happens when somebody connects by faith with grace? Heaven begins to break out in their soul. Something happens and transforms and changes them, and they are saved by grace, they're healed by grace, they're restored by grace. Everything happens in our life by grace. How many of you think that's probably a really critical idea? That's important. It's vital. Grace. We'll move on. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. How many of you have been down that road and said, this looks pretty good? Hey, it's nice, smooth, nicely paved. Maybe this is the way. It seems like it. Have you ever found yourself in an it seems like it proposition and then you get to the end and say, uh-oh, bridge out, dead end? Or you've been in your life and you've made decision because it seemed like everybody else wanted to or it fit, and then you found yourself in the pickle, in the predicament, in the problem. Why? Because there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to new believers and old believers alike in the church at Ephesus, a group of people that he had been discipling and talking to for years, and now he writes this letter to them and he says, here's my prayer for you guys. How many of you would like to know what Paul's prayer was? What he prayed for this church, and I believe he prayed for all believers. I'm going to include myself in there. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Is it vital to know God? Vital to see God? Then what path do we need to trod? We need to move into a place of wisdom. And how do we get there? Through revelation. Now, isn't this a little frustrating for God to say this? Think about this real quick with me. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Now, take that into a marriage, husbands and wives. Imagine yourself talking as a husband and wife on the patio or breakfast or at a meal and saying, you know what? Here's the problem here. My ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. What is that a prescription for? Disaster. That's for heartbreak and problems. Why? How can two walk together except they be in agreement? You got to move into agreement. Now, what's critical to a marriage relationship or a business relationship or a friendship? Communication. So that you can build a way together and that you can understand one another and communicate. So what does God say? Basically, He says this to us. This does not work in marriage, by the way. Husbands, do not turn to your wife and say, I heard what the pastor said. He said, your ways are junk and my ways are better. My thoughts are better, your thoughts are junk. No. You're not God, and she's not humanity, okay? But from God's perspective, God who is holy, He says this, look, you intend well, you want to come to heaven, you want to see me, you want to know me, but the way that seems right to you never works. Now, at that point in time, here's what we want to say, well, then I quit. What's the answer? Here's the answer. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll come and show you the way personally. I'll take the word, wrap it in flesh, put him in an infant manger, have him grow up, give his life, and then be ascended back to me. And that when you look at him, you can see there's somebody who knew the way of the Father. There's the one who knew the mind of the Father. I'll see to it that you have my word. I'll see to it that you have my Holy Spirit. And he'll show you things that you know not of. And what does that mean? He's going to have to reveal it to you by the word and by prayer. And it's going to be an aha moment where your spirit comes alive and go, aha! That's what he meant. That's what he was talking about. I've been frustrated all along because I've been trying to get God to do things my way. How many of you know that doesn't work? Does not work. God is not going to come over to your side of the fence. He doesn't need to. He's God. He doesn't need to change. You are man or woman, and you really need to change. And I desperately really need to change. And it's going to require the wisdom and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He knows the ways of the Father, and he can work with you and reveal them to you and lead you into them. And when he does, you will not find yourself at the dead end and cut off. You will find yourself in green pasture. You will find yourself in the blessings of the Lord. You will find yourself flourishing in his presence and coming to know him as the Holy Spirit reveals him to you. Would you put your hands together and thank him? Moving right along. Proverbs 14:23, same book, a great book of wisdom. And listen to this little nugget. Righteousness exalts a nation. How many of you have seen that in the course of the United States of America? But how many of you are also seeing this right now? Let's wake up and smell the coffee. But sin condemns any people. America is seeing the results of its sin. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing the fallout for that which we have refused of the way of the Lord. Whenever we line up with the way of the Lord, things go well. When we get away from the Lord and we forget the Lord, then it puts into a double jeopardy, because sin itself brings a condemnation, and then rejecting the Lord brings a problem. But there is an answer, by the way, and that is turnarounds are welcome and desired at all times with God. Amen? And so what do we do? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, there's humility, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. Amen? There are still some people in this room that can have a great influence on this nation, because why? He says, listen to what we'll read on and discover this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God. This is in Romans 1, 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul's testimony. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the story of God incarnate, coming Jesus, taking our sin, dying for our sin, creating for us a justification by his resurrection, ascending back to the right hand of the Father. This is the centerpiece. This is the answer. It brings salvation to everyone who believes. In faith, powerful. Why? Because of who we believe in. Because he is all powerful. Brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Right? Just as is written, the righteousness, I reread that first verse, didn't I? For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. What are we talking about? Righteousness. How many of you know that's fallen in the street? There is all kinds of unrighteousness prevailing in the hearts of people. And I'll tell you this. There's a lot of unrighteousness that has crept into the people of God within the church, because they're afraid to walk in righteousness. They're afraid that someone will disagree with them. They're afraid that someone will shame them. They're afraid that someone will attack them. There's a difference between loving people enough to speak the truth and getting in trouble, and speaking the truth to people because you don't love people and you like to hack them off. How many of you know there's a big difference? Now, some of us would like to believe that we can just love people and serve Jesus and nobody have problems with us. Just realize something right now. Let's just get this truth settled in our spirit. Jesus was hated. more intensely than a human being has ever been hated. There were people that hated his guts. There were people who were religious people that felt that way. There were people who were irreligious people that felt that way. Why? Because everywhere he walked, he proclaimed, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to repent and turn around. You're not good enough for God. You're not on the page with God, but there's good news and I'm here to deliver it. God is reaching his hands out. He is stretching his arms out to a disobedient people, and he is not wanting you to be cast away and tossed away from his presence, but he's asking for the recalcitrant and the angry and the bitter to consider one more time. How about if we reason together, says the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as wool. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's great news. Righteousness. Listen, folks, we need to connect with righteousness. Our life needs to demonstrate righteousness. Our speech needs to communicate righteousness. Our activity needs to be done in righteousness. What does that mean? In right standing before God and connected to the facts about God, and so that we live according to the precepts of the kingdom of heaven and not the kingdoms of this earth. What they think is right is not right. But what God says is right, that's right. What God says is just is just. What God says is fair, and we need to connect with that. So this is the verdict, Jesus said to Nicodemus. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. There it is. John chapter 3, 19, 21. Reading on. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Now, how many of you know that people are battling over truth today? It's silly. There is only one truth, and it is settled in heaven. It's settled in the Word of God. It's not a relative thing. Well, I have my truth, and you have your truth. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. You might have a reality you live in, but that's not God's reality. And I don't know about you, but I want to see God. And if I'm going to see God, I'm going to have to see God on His terms, not on my terms. I'm going to have to come to His heaven, not my idea of heaven. I'm going to have to come to His justice, not my idea of justice. So Jesus answered in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, how many of you know that that drops like a lead balloon today? Just get in front of a crowd and say, I want to talk to you about truth right now. And I just want to just lay a truth bomb on you. Are y'all ready? Talk about a mic drop moment. If you don't accept Jesus, you're lost. There's great news. If you'll accept Jesus, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. Now, how many of you can feel the bricks hitting you already? How many of you can hear the cat calls and the people that turn the mic off? Grab that guy, beat him up. Why do you think the disciples suffered in their day? Because this was the truth they proclaimed. They spoke about, they had encountered the truth. There was no second guessing that they had seen him. They beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. And they had heard what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. It is not a precept, it is a person. And we can know Jesus personally. Amen? The question is, do you know him or do you not? Have you been born again or have you not? That's what it takes to enter the kingdom of God. That's what it takes to go all the way to the end in faithfulness to him, is holding fast to that idea of what? Truth. Five letters. T-R-U-T-H. Truth. It's almost toxic today to talk about objective truth. And then, finally, this. John 8:32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. How many of you know there's such a thing as a false disciple? There are real disciples. What authenticates a person as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, born again. How many of you know it's great to start the right way? To see the door and enter the door. Now you're in the kingdom. You're walking and you can enter the kingdom because you can see the kingdom. And who's the door? Jesus. And so you're born again. Vital. You got to be born again. But that's not all. Wait, there's more. Now you need to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's not just for apostles. That's for believers. That's for people who are entering the kingdom. So he says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will, then if you really hold to my teaching, you have to really hold to my teaching, and said, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap for freedom. We as Americans really like the idea of freedom. We really want to be free. Now, listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, when they're born again, they turn to the Lord, they come to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So this morning, why are we encouraging you to press into the Spirit? Why do we take extra time this morning with just that sweetness, that visitation of the Holy Spirit? Because He's wanting to bring freedom. And this is what people can most obviously relate to. Bound people know what it's like to be free. They long to be free again. People who feel chained know what it's like. They desire and long for freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, nowhere else. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This is the reason. Jesus believes so much in freedom, and it's so powerful to Him. It is for that very reason that He has set us free. For freedom's sake. Because He has designed and created us to be free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. That almost sounds like what he said as we began. Do every effort. Make every effort. Stand firm then. Why? Because freedom is easily lost. Freedom is easily lost. And in our spiritual life, we are set free from sin, trespasses. But here's the thing. We've still got to live. And we get warnings from this same apostle who says, be careful what you yield your members to obey. Because whatever you yield your members to obey, to the same you become a servant, you become a slave to that thing. And if you submit yourself to righteousness, then that becomes powerful in your life. But if you submit yourself to carnality and flesh and unrighteousness, what happens? It takes over and it runs the show. There's nothing more disturbing an image than someone who has been born again, who has been delivered by the blood of Jesus and set free, who goes back to their old life and toys with it again and finds themselves in bondage all over again. It's not a pretty sight. I've got great news for you, though. Jesus is in the setting free business. Give Him another hand clap this morning. Jesus is in the freedom business. We're not going to have any closing music, but I just want us to stand to our feet and we're going to have a prayer together. And I want us to focus in on this. I've just listed out some things for you. Number 7 is freedom. In the aftermath, in the place where we are right now, as we're dealing with things as Americans, as Texans, as we're dealing with the aftermath, what's going on politically, what's going on societally, what's going on civilly, what's going on legally, what's going on spiritually. How many of you know there's a lot of things going on a whole lot of levels? We have like 7 major mountains that have been shaken in our culture. Not just one. Not just economics. No, everything. The family, economics, education, sports and entertainment, the news media. Everything has been shaken and people are having a hard time realizing what's going on. And we need to wake up and realize something. A major spiritual movement or shaking is going on. The enemy's at work. God is at work. And man is at work. And there is a mess going on right now. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The aftermath. In the aftermath, we are aware of holes, failures, errors, and wickedness in humanity. Isn't it obvious? And if we look in the mirror and we're honest, we look at ourselves and we see, this is where I don't measure up. This is where I fall short. Some of us, in fact, look into this perfect law of liberty, and isn't it interesting that we instinctively drift away from reading the Bible? Do you know why? If you don't like how you look in a mirror, you tend to avoid mirrors. Hello? Some people are absolutely adverse to photography and mirrors because of their image of themselves and what they carry within them. That's another sermon for another time. But this is the perfect law of liberty. When we look into this word and we get with the Holy Spirit, He begins to tell us the reality of what's going on, and He points us to Jesus rather than our own failures, and He says, you can be just like Him. Isn't that a great option? You can be more like Him. He lived as a man. He was tempted in all points as a man. He knows what it's like to be in humanity, and He has an answer for you, and I'll tell you what the answer is. The only answer for this is holiness. Everybody say holiness. The only answer for this is to become holy. And what does that mean? That means to love like God does, to serve like God does, to give like God does, to understand and walk the way God does, to act righteously as God does, to stand in the truth as God has given it, and to be free. Now, some of you are saying, tall order. Oh, my goodness. Pastor, you gave me seven things there. He's the sevenfold nature of the Spirit, the sevenfold nature of God. This is what holiness is. Holiness is to go after that, to pursue that, to walk into that. And God wouldn't ask you to be holy unless you could be. Not in your power, not in your availability, but aren't you glad He gave grace? Because by His grace, we can become holy. Aren't you glad for His righteousness that robes us so that we can stand before Him in righteousness? Aren't you glad for His wisdom that by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, He can show us His way? Aren't you glad for His truth that no matter how deeply it hurts, can set us free? And aren't you glad for freedom? A truly free person doesn't really care what other people think. They only care what Jesus thinks. And they walk entirely free. The Apostle Paul spent most of the latter part of his ministry in chains, but he was the freest man in Rome. He was the freest man in Ephesus. He was the freest man on that shipwreck at Malta. Why? Because he was a servant of the Most High God, and he knew that he had been got a hold of, and there was something for him to walk into. And it wasn't his apostolic ministry that he was trying to fulfill, but it was to be in relationship with Jesus and to walk out the holiness of God. Peter knew what it was like to be holy because he had been called to it and had been equipped by it by the Holy Spirit, not because of just of his 3 years with Jesus, but because the same Spirit that filled Christ without measure was now upon him, and that Holy Spirit was going to make him and bring him and draw him and teach him about holiness. Over our life, I don't want us to hear that quote that I gave to you at the beginning. There's a lot of dispute about what it means to be holy. But I want us as a people to say, I know what the Word of God says it means to be holy. I know that there is a sevenfoldness of the Spirit, and I can walk and I can be holy even as He is holy. But how many of us would say, Lord, this is a big project. Lord, where do we start? You know what? He knows where to start. He knows what point number one is. We don't have to look at all 572 points and say, oh my goodness, what a big job. We can come to Him and say, Lord, where do you want to start in my life? I want to move out of my comfort zone. I want to move out of the things that seem so natural to me. And I want to walk into your holiness. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to know it as a theological concept. I want to realize He's a person. I see Jesus, He's holy. The Holy Spirit, He's holy. God, You're holy. The angels know what holiness is. And Your word reveals to me what holiness is. But I can't do it, Lord. But how many of you know that we can do all things through Christ, which gives us strength? Amen? So how many of you just slip up a hand and say, Lord, I'm catching a sight of what it means to be holy, and I need help. I would put both two hands up, but my wireless mic right here is not working. I've got to hold a mic. I would put a foot up in the air. I would not put 2 feet up in the air. So Lord, we just bow before you and we're just honest with you. We lift our hand before you. Without holiness, we cannot see you, Lord. Without holiness, we can't go to the depths of the kingdom of heaven. We want to be holy. You've called us to be holy in our conversation, in our activity, in our lifestyle, in everything that we do. Lord, you are the fountain and the fire of love. We need you. You are the fountain and the fire of humility, and we need you. You are the fountain and the fire of grace, and we need you. You are the fountain and the fire of wisdom and revelation, and we need you. You are the fountain and the fire of righteousness, and we need to shine with that righteous light. You are the fountain and the fire of truth, and we need your truth to cut deep into our spirit. And you are the fountain and the fire of freedom. Lord, there's some shackles that need to be broken. There's some chains that bind me that need to be broken off of me. I need to walk into that freedom. Lord, I want to embrace that. That is holiness. That is the holiness. Without that, I can't see you. But you have made sure that I can have it all by your grace and to your glory. And Lord, we thank you for it and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap before we go today. We will not be having the ladies' Bible study, men's Bible study today. And then I wanted to let you know, True Seekers will not be meeting here on site Tuesday night. I'll be having something else I need to be at. So I'm going to be recording something for you. And there will be something for you. So Lord bless you. Have a great day.